Hi, I'm Katie.
And I'm Chris. And this is the EdShift Podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this episode of the EdShift Podcast. Really thrilled to be joined today by a guest who I had the privilege of meeting when we were doing some work together with the Harvard Initiative for Learning and Teaching. Dr. Hassan Brown at the time was pursuing his PhD with the Harvard Graduate School of Education and working as a mentor and a startup advisor with the Harvard Initiative for Teaching and Learning. So really pleased, and we've been able to stay connected over the years, and glad to have him here on the podcast today. So today, Dr. Hassan Brown is the CEO of Career Catalyst. He's passionate about bridging the gap between social justice, education, and emerging technologies. He served as a director of the Harvard Innovation and Ventures in Education, also known as HIVE. And as I mentioned, he was a startup advisor for Operation Impact with the Harvard Initiative for Learning and Teaching. He also currently serves as an advisor for Headstream, an accelerator from Second Muse. He brings over a decade of cross-sector experience in teaching, collective impact, community organizing, philanthropy, business development, and strategy and operations to his work. Hassan, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me, Katie and Chris. Happy to be here.
So let's get started with diving into Career Catalyst and the work that you're doing there. Tell us about the focus of the organization and what's going on there.
Yeah, so the Career Catalyst Initiative is a college career exploration and inspiration platform that really focuses on the STEM careers of today and those 21st century skills, you know, like around like communication, collaboration, all the things that we don't always hear explicitly in our science classes, but are very integral to your professional and personal success, whether you go into STEM careers or not.
I love that. Tell us about some of the favorite projects or favorite people that you've had involved in Career Catalyst so far.
Oh, God. There's been so many. Some of my coworkers, they call it kind of like the United Science Guy for the hood. I'm like, what? But it essentially kind of boils down to that, right? One of my most recent engagements, I did not understand the assignment at all. I had Jordans on. I had Purple Jeans, which is like a super luxurious brand of jeans and a streetwear. I don't know what possessed me to wear this into the swamp. But I found myself in the swamps of Wilmington, North Carolina. I was interviewing a maritime archaeologist, right? So that should have given me like, Hassan, you should have known, okay, you better probably be at least outdoors. But I had like, you know, my new Jordans on that, like, you know, my wife had got me for Christmas. I'm out there looking fresh, crispy, right? And so as I'm talking to this really awesome maritime archaeologist by the name of Stephanie Sterling, we're talking about the Gullah Geechee culture of the region. We're talking about how indigenous folks really kind of like created the topography of that part of that region within Wilmington. And as she's talking to me, I can literally feel myself sinking into the mud. And I'm trying to keep a straight face. You know, I'm mic'd up, the camera's rolling. And I'm like, And ultimately, I just had to like tell my cameraman, cut, you know, because like by that point, I had mud on the J's. I had flies all around me. But y'all took it in good stride.
What an amazing opportunity and what an amazing resource you're bringing to these students. So the direction I want to go is like, give me the perspective from a student who's engaging in this content. Like how do they become aware of it? What supports are they getting? And then do you have some fun success stories to tell about students who maybe didn't see the pathway to their future, weren't as engaged in school, and had the opportunity to be exposed to amazing content like this, and like how did that help them shift their view on their education? That's a lot, sorry.
No, but absolutely. So you know, at the end of all of our experiences, we're constantly checking in with students around their like perceptions of self and the information or guidance that they've received as a result of their Career Catalyst experience, and even like, you know, anything that they'd like to have, that they would have liked to have experienced it, but they did not have the opportunity to, right? So we're also always trying to learn from the population that we serve. Before we launched, we were constantly doing full streams and survey engagement, really sitting down with educators and youth mentors and with students, and they're trying to figure out, okay, what is like the ideal length of our content? Is this cheesy and this corny? Like, you know, what should we get rid of? What should we keep? What should we modify, right? Like, and you know, teenagers, they'll keep it 100, but you know, what's working, what's not. And so I will say, through our various focus groups and surveys, and just like, you know, going to various school engagements, I'll say sometimes, like, you know, in education, there's like a lot of like gatekeeping around who is considered like, you know, a STEM professional and what is considered STEM or even STEAM, right? And so a lot of kids, like, you know, they've had like their horizons expanded by understanding that, oh, gaming and coding, these are considered STEM, right? So like, you know, knowing how to, you know, code and how to create video games, that's considered STEM. Maritime archaeology, oh, I never thought about that. Or even agricultural business, I never thought about that, right? So like really expanding how young people are thinking about STEM has been one of like the biggest kind of like ahas. And that really is like one of the goals, right? Because, you know, growing up for me, when someone mentioned STEM, I always thought about either I'm a doctor or I'm an engineer. And that was essentially it. I didn't think about all the myriad pathways. And I will say now, I think, you know, information is so democratized on, you know, you can go on YouTube and learn any number of things. There are many more pathways and opportunities for young people to get information. Sometimes that by itself can be a little overwhelming. So having all the information in one place on Career Catalyst, we're professionals who are, some of them are near peer, so near in age to some of our students that we serve. We serve predominantly middle school, high school age students. So we have professionals who are mid-career, some folks who are later career, but they can share and they can empathize with some of the challenges and some of the ambiguity that young people are facing. Events like that last piece that I mentioned on, like, you know, redefining or reimagining what is STEM and what is STEAM, it allows the kid who probably didn't see themselves as a STEM student or STEM professional to consider, even if they don't pursue that as a formal career, just be curious about STEM. And honestly, STEM is really important. The reason why we highlight STEM is because STEM careers in this year of 2023 are pathways to prosperity for many communities, right? And so a lot of like what I'm trying to do is also provide pathways that help to disrupt generational wealth inequities. You know, folks who look like me are reflected in many of the students that Career Catalyst serves. And so, you know, this is my way of, you know, using education to kind of like break down the gate, so to speak, in a fun, engaging way, allows young people to kind of be in the driver's seat. It's self-guided. They can kind of choose what content they want to pursue, what pathway or rabbit hole they want to go down on the platform. And honestly, like, you know, the platform is like the starting point. The ultimate goal is that they then take that curiosity and go do their own independent research or go find like, you know, additional programs or nurture some of that curiosity as well.
Do you have like a story of a student who found themselves in a career that they hadn't envisioned because of the program?
So what's great about Career Catalyst is, you know, the folks that we feature, many of them are like, you know, your everyday heroes who they themselves, the people who we feature, probably haven't even considered themselves to be heroes. And so part of my work is like really amplifying and giving just like people who are every day checking in, doing great work, have a social justice, a social orientation to the work that they do, giving them a platform to share with young people, right? I have so many friends who would love to find time to mentor a young person, but they, like, you know, for any number of reasons, like, you know, their responsibilities doesn't allow them to do so. Career Catalyst allows them to do that, you know, by many times over through the creation of like their content and their learning experiences. And so an example of that is one of my good friends from undergrad. He actually attended Tuskegee University in Alabama. He's a Navy pilot. He now flies commercial. We filmed an episode with him. So like we're on the tarmac. He's telling us his story. You know, he, just like me, came from very humble beginnings, overcame tragedies, had great successes in life, brilliant guy. And at the middle of the episode, he kind of caught me off guard. I thought we were just like going to talk on the tarmac in front of this nice shiny plane. But then he's like, hey, you want to go for a flight? So then I'm like, oh, crap. I'm like, so I turned to my cameraman. I'm like, do you want to go for a flight? Because if you ain't going, I'm not going, right? So ultimately, my cameraman, he's like a daredevil. He's like, yeah, man, let's go. Let's. He's always like all in. So he loves like all any crazy idea that comes up on set. He's like, let's do it. So we pack ourselves, these three, you know, three guys into like this very tiny single engine Cessna. We take a flight for about an hour over the San Francisco Bay Area. And, you know, it's that sunset. So we're looking down, we're seeing like, you know, the Bay Bridge and the Golden Gate Bridge, just a phenomenal perspective that, like, you know, we were able to capture that view for so many young kids or just folks who probably, you know, for any number of reason, haven't been in a plane, haven't seen their hometown. I'm talking to the pilot. His name is Mario Tarver, awesome guy. And he tells me that he also is on the board for an organization called OBAP, the Organization of Black Aerospace. I think P is professionals, but don't hold me to that. But it's OBAP.org, I believe. It's a nonprofit. And he talks about, you know, that OBAP, they sponsor a certain number of young people for flight lessons. Right. So he mentions that in the episode, we filmed, we cut, we put it out there. A few months down the line, I'm doing a focus group. And one of the kids, he mentions Mario's episode. And he says, yeah, man, so like when I watched the episode, as soon as I watched it, I went down to OBAP.org. I looked up all the information and I got myself signed up for a flight lesson. To me, that's like, that's mission accomplished. Right.
Wow.
Now, I don't know what became of the flight lesson. I hope that he was able to go out there and do his thing and, you know, all that. But it's just like those are the experiences. And that's like really what Career Callus is. I'm just giving the gentle nudge to say, hey, have you considered this? And here's a resource to get you there. And you have the agency and the autonomy to pursue that. Right. This young man, I don't even think he had considered being a pilot. Right. But he was curious. So we feed that curiosity at Career Catalyst. And so it was really awesome to kind of hear that story because to me, that just like really made my day.
I love that. Yeah, it made something that seemed so out of reach all of a sudden accessible in a very tangible way. Like I can now take these steps and boom, I'm doing this thing that I never thought I would do. Like, I love that. Have you done an episode on yourself and the work that you're doing and kind of your journey from where you started to now really shifting and empowering as many students as you can?
So I'm laughing because my staff and some of my team, they've given me that nudge many a time. My pushback is always that I'm so busy and all that, but you know, I need to make the time for that. What I have done as a compromise is I filmed a brief distance traveled story, is what we call it. So it's very much, it's just like a Career Catalyst story-ish, but this is like 3 minutes versus like our usual, like, you know, 30-minute, 45-minute engagements. So it's actually up on my website and on the K4 Center on their website. They were the funders and they really helped bring my story to life. But it's my, kind of like my spiel of, you know, being this scrappy kid in Brooklyn. I chose Harvard because at the time I was living on the West Coast and I wanted to find a way to get back east. And so I said, okay, well, let me go to school and that'll be a way for me to get back east and have someone pay for it, right? So it's always been just like trying to figure out feeding whatever my curiosity was at that time. So for now, I will say on my website, drhassanbrown.com, drhassanbrown.com, The distance travel story is there. And I think it's also, it might even be on careercatalyst.org if folks want to check that out.
The way you're relating to kind of STEM and STEAM and the way you're kind of, you know, empowering students, I think it feels, it's a different door to access it. And I think it's also really interesting for kids to see all the ways they can take things that they're passionate about or that they want in life and combine that with the career that they pursue. So
yeah, I mean, and you're right, you know, because I've gone to like different, you know, Codehouse had a huge career experience day last year that I went to, and I go to like different career fairs and school engagements, and for kids who have engaged with the content, when they see me at like the Creative Catalyst tables talking about the platform, they're like, wait, they often, it's always so funny. They look at the screen, then they look at me, they say, wait, you're that guy, you're the, right? I'm just like, yeah, I'm that guy. Right? So it just makes it more tangible. I'm like a little mini, I don't know, mini celebrity with the kids, but I love it. And like, you know, as a lifelong educator, you know, as a classroom teacher for, I'm not gonna say how many years, I don't wanna date myself, I was a teacher for a number of years, social worker as well.
Yeah.
This is like just like a great way, like the next chapter, next season, I'd say in my life of giving back and really helping the next generation. So I'm lifting as I climb, you know?
I'd love to transition a little bit and talk about tech and talk about the startup space and some of your work there a little bit. I'd love to know, you know, what are you seeing in, you know, in the technology space where you work, and what's different than it was, you know, even say when you were doing your PhD, which was mostly in a pre-pandemic world.
Well, I would say tech meant that you were working for a tech company, right? And I think, you know, even like pre-pandemic, we understood that, you know, Twitter's a tech company, though they may, like, you know, say that they're like a communications platform, like a news platform, right? And Uber may say they're, you know, a logistics company or transportation, but tech undergirds all of it. I think even now more than ever, what we've seen is just the blow up the ubiquity of technology really across all platforms. I think to be successful in most platforms, whether you're doing it for marketing and communications purposes, or technology is what undergirds the infrastructure of your business, technology is king right now. But I always like to tell young people that one does not need to have like hardcore technological skills in order to work in tech, right? I have a friend who he's making seven figures right now, and he's a recruiter at a tech company, right? And so there's ways to, I mean, this is like with stock options and all that kind of stuff, right? But there's ways to get into tech and not have a strong tech acumen. I kind of wish that some days I was in a classroom and teach, like, you know, how to use ChatGPT as a tool, right? Because I'm like, you know, some students are going to see this as like, it's going to write my homework for me. And it's like, no, it could be like, you know, it could be an assistant. You still need to like go back and verify responses and know how to, like, you know, prompt engineering, how to ask the right questions. And so you can build a whole lesson around how you ask the right questions, right? That you can use, you can apply, that can apply to, you know, working with technology or even, you know, working in a not technological space, but there's so many learning opportunities now with where we are with tech, with this stage of tech, and that really is the what I'm most kind of like weary, but also very excited about. Mm. Right, we're at this weird inflection point where, you know, sometimes like, you know, big interests want everyone to go all in on something without, like, you know, fully understanding the implications. And now, you know, you probably hear no one's talking about crypto anymore, and that's part of the caution that I have around new and emerging technologies. Many times we'll have industry who wants, like, you know, they'll push this pretty much down our throats in some instances for mass adoption, and then we as the users don't always have a full understanding of its applications and implications. Sometimes, like, you know, the implications are long term. So that's kind of like the weariness that I have, but I do see opportunities for things like, you know, Bitcoin. There's opportunities there. There's opportunities for using AI for learning. I think, you know, from an educator standpoint, there are pros and cons, is what I'd say.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. Where else do you hope technology goes next, specifically for education?
Honestly, I hope that technology goes into the hands of the people. I think, just thinking back to like my time as a classroom teacher, maybe every few months I'd have a tech company reaching out to me with the software for like a free trial. And when I get into it, I'd realize that oftentimes the software, the program was created by engineers for educators versus without the input of educators, if that makes sense, right? So I'd like to see a more a shift in power dynamics, a more of a grassroots where we have more teachers and educators who are at the ideation phase, at the implementation phase, who are sitting shoulder to shoulder, not just like providing input, but really being part of like some of these teams that are developing some of these technologies. And, you know, also like communities of color, underserved communities, historically oppressed community, like things should also have a seat at the table and a voice, a leading voice at the table of how we use these technologies. Because, you know, education is a tool for prosperity in this country, but it's also been weaponized against, you know, marginalized communities. So with technology, I think like, you know, I'd say we're in this, like, you know, the information age, you know, 100 plus years ago was the industrial era, in which, you know, many folks that look like me were locked out of those opportunities. I think it's time for us to flip that script and really get into positions of power and ensuring that those who have the most to gain really are the ones who are having in this country is that money is power, right? And wealth creates autonomy, and autonomy equals freedom, right? So that's the equation. So I'm trying to provide, you know, education for liberation, if you will. So, I mean, I will say, you know, to me, education is something that doesn't stop once you graduate, you know, K-12 or post-secondary or college. And I think, you know, lifelong learning is something that I even do in my personal life, right? It's like, you know, I'm always, you know, I have audio books, like I'm in the car, I'm always like learning something, or like, you know, began really getting deep into like health and wellness. I think the pandemic has been a catalyst for that. And so I really bring, that's like where I'm fusing, you know, when I talk about, you know, wealth creates autonomy, it doesn't make sense having all that money and having all that wealth if you're not healthy enough to enjoy it, right? And so this is where we're also thinking about our health. And so, you know, at the top of our call, we got on, we were talking about that work-life balance. And, you know, I say like, you know, work-life imbalance, right? Make sure that we're having, you know, that you're working and getting that done, but that you also like, you know, take that walk, drink that water, eat a fruit, eat a vegetable, right? Do some breath work. I'm really deep into Eastern practices. I'm a yogi as well. And so a lot of like those yogic principles are fused into like everything that I do. Like my team is always like, you're so zen. I'm like, yeah, I mean, let's all be zen. Because stress is a killer, you know? So yeah, so it's like, let's really just like get all of ourselves on pathways of health prosperity, educational prosperity, financial prosperity. I'm here for all of that. And all the teachings and all the learnings that I have in all said realms, I feel like it's my time here on this earth to pass that on to peers and to young people so that, you know, they can share that with whomever they can, you know, choose to adopt it and, you know, like make it their own as well. And then I'll pass it on to their community. And, you know, that's how great things happen.
Yeah. You keep answering some of my questions before I ask them, because I was gonna talk about like advice for educators out there who are listening to this, because obviously we know you know, there's so much burnout, there's so much stress, you know, and I think there's certain populations that are even more affected by that in terms of the teacher populations in there in the classroom. And so yeah, those ideas of finding what you can do for yourself and getting curious. I keep hearing this theme, you know, about getting curious about what might make me feel okay in the classroom, what might make me not burned out, what might I try today or this week. I think there's so much in that curiosity that people can hopefully follow in a way that brings more joy and balance to their lives.
And I think tech Absolutely. Is the piece there that's been so interesting, right? Because now, I mean, you talked about it earlier, we've kind of like democratized knowledge and all of that because we have access to things. So if you can cultivate the curiosity and point students into places where they can start to even just take the first step down a road, then they're going to keep finding those other pieces and be able to go. And that's almost how we create this next generation of individuals who are better able to have those balances because they've found their passions. They've connected to the things that are uniquely meaningful to them. And I think that's a really powerful message to find that place and find that balance and to make sure that we're setting our kids up to know that that is what their future should look like. And you called out an important piece as well, Hassan, like it is making sure things don't get imbalanced either. Like we have to do the work. Like the work is there. The work is essential. But like finding those things that drive you and move you and that you, I mean, you have nothing but smiles when you talk about the work you do. And like I watch your face and like I can tell that this, you know, it lifts you up and it inspires you and it makes you want to get up. And it probably sometimes is hard to keep that in check and do other things because it is something that's driving you. And letting all of our kids from all different backgrounds know that that is the future they can have. And these are some places that they can go to start to head that way. Like,
yeah, I love it.
Well, kind of to your point, Katie, as an educator, so for teachers, I would say that something that a teacher can do, bring as much of yourself as you can into the classroom, right? You know, some of my best teachers from like, you know, elementary all through college, were teachers who brought their passions, their hobbies, their interests into the classroom, right? So Chris, you mentioned that you train and raise horses, right? Bring that into the class. Kids love that stuff. I had a teacher, fifth grade teacher, Ms. Cuccinello. She was Italian, awesome Italian woman. She taught us how to create, like she taught us fractions through like creating like a dish, I think it was like a ZD or something that she taught us how to make. And, you know, we had to like go home and make it. We brought it in and we had like a mini, like, I don't know, potluck. But I learned how to cook and I learned about fractions and I learned about her culture, right? Because she brought all that into the classroom. So yes, we have, you know, curriculum and administrators who are beating down our necks and all that. You know, I've been an administrator, so I get it. But bring yourself to the classroom and infuse that into your curriculum where possible, because it'll make you happier and your kids will appreciate you that much more for it.
Yeah, that is such good advice. And that, yeah, showing kids that they can be themselves too. You know, the more authenticity we bring, the more authenticity a kid knows that they can bring. Son, I have two more questions for you. I really need to go back to that first story and I need to know if your Jordans recovered.
You know, it took a lot of mint toothpaste. Took a lot of toothpaste and brushing to get it done. But yeah, I think we were able to save them. They were on life support for a while, but I think we got them out.
Okay, good. I'm relieved. And then the final question I have is one that we like to ask all of our guests at the end of our episode. And I think we, as you mentioned, we chatted a little bit about this idea of balance and making sure every day is great when we were chatting earlier. So my question is, what has the best part of your day been today?
Ooh, the best part of my day. Honestly, I start my day pretty early. I mean, we're a virtual organization, so like my team is all spread out. But like, the first few hours of the day are always mine. So I get up in the morning, I have a cup of tea. I know I sound like an old man. Have a cup of tea, I meditate for like, you know, 10, 15 minutes. I stretch like an old man. I'm over here, like, you know, touching my toes and doing all the things. But then I also like, I either go and do, Mysore yoga for like, you know, 2 hours, or I go and do, Muay Thai kickboxing for a few hours. Right. So I always get to start the day with, some good, like, you know, yin and yang, as far as like, you know, a lot of like, you know, stillness and then a lot of movement and then reflection. So regardless of whether I have like, you know, board meetings, this meeting, that meeting, the first few hours are always dedicated to self. And that's how I kind of like preserve that healthy balance that we were talking about earlier.
Yeah, that's great. And don't worry about sounding like an old person. I get up and drink hot water with lemon in the morning. I think we all are in this together.
Yeah, I'm there too. Like first have coffee, then have meditation, then have yoga, and then maybe I'm limber enough to actually move like a real person again. So yeah, I feel you.
Hassan, what else do you want to share with our audience? Where can people find you? Where can those curious tap into Career Catalyst and your other work?
Yeah, so for Career Catalyst, all things Career Catalyst, you can check us out at careercatalyst.org. To learn more about me and my work, as I mentioned, I have a professional website, drhassanbrown.com. And hit me up. I got to say, like, we're with Career Catalyst, we're predominantly middle school and high school serving students. So a lot of our partners are school districts and youth programs. But we are curious and interested, I'm curious and interested at least, if this is something that you want to bring to scale for the masses that anyone can get access to. And so for people like, you know, go to any of the platforms that I named, then drop us a line. Let us know if this is something that you'd like us to bring to your school, your community, your family, or if you as an individual will be interested in this. That will all be really great data for us. So reach out to any of those channels that I named, and looking forward to engaging with any of your listeners.
Fantastic. We will make sure all of that is in the show notes. So thank you. Thank you again, Hassan, for being here. We appreciate it so much. Always love chatting.
Thank you.
Thank you to all of our listeners for being here, for listening to this episode of the EdShift podcast. We would love to know what you think. Get in touch with us on socials as well. Leave us a review if you're listening to this on a podcast platform that has reviews. And we'll talk to you next time. Have a great day.